Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.
Whether you know him as Littlefinger from Game of Thrones, Tommy Carsetti from The Wire, or John Boy from the Irish drama series Love Hate, Irish actor and Dubliner Aidan Gillen is no stranger to stage and screen, both at home and abroad. And we're delighted that he's here this morning. Aidan, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having us.
You're here to talk about Dingle, the Dingle Distillery International Film Festival. And that place is very special to you. Is that right?
It is, yeah. I mean, I lived in Dingle for a number of years. But, you know, that as an adult, but I went to Dingle when I was 13 to Irish college. And I would say that those 3 weeks, definitely, I got a bump in my heart.
Really?
That's still present, you know, an extra bump. I love that place dearly. And, you know, I had been going back intermittently and eventually ended up living there for a number of years. And when our kids were young.
So now it's nice to go back for this professional event. But when I was having a look at the programme, I saw you're involved in the Masters workshops and talks. How does that sit with you?
Well, the grandiose term Masters, I'm not sure how that sits, but I will be, you know, giving a talk with, it's basically an interview with Roz Hubbard, who is an Irish film casting legend, really, and was there at the forefront of the Irish film industry when it started to flourish, really started to flourish in the 90s, you know, casting and things like The Commitments and Devil's Own, going on to cast Heavenly Creatures and the Lord of the Rings trilogy, all of this stuff, and who also was resident with her lovely husband, John, at the same time as I was. I believe she still is down in Dingle. So, you know, I will be having a conversation with her, talking about my career to date, how I ended up doing the things that I've ended up doing, the people I've met along the way, the adventures and misadventures, and why I love doing it.
Mm-hmm. And can I ask you that question? Why? Can you say why you love doing it? It's a big question, isn't it?
Very big question. And it's not that easy to answer, but it's something that I found quite young, you know, when I was 14 or 15 and started. I was just lucky enough to wander into a theatre company and found something that I felt I could do and that I could probably do well eventually. And it became my life from, you know, from then.
Mm-hmm. And was there ever anything else that you wanted to do, or was this your always your sole focus? Because it's not the easiest thing to make a living at.
No, I mean, if you're determined, it is. It wasn't particularly at that time because there wasn't so much happening in this country, which is why I ended up living abroad, I suppose, for 20 years. But there wasn't anything else. I think I wanted to be a jockey at one point or a forester.
Right.
That's what I filled in the form.
But you were drawn back to acting.
Yeah, and you know, I started to get work at 17 and I've been working pretty much consistently since.
Mm-hmm. Well, that says a lot as well, doesn't it? That you know, you can stay on that treadmill. But you've always made really interesting choices. You know, I suppose with Game of Thrones, you had the opportunity just to go full tilt at that sort of a role at that level. But you've gone off-piste a lot over the years.
Yeah, I mean, even during the period, which was like 7 or 8 years when we were doing Game of Thrones, I mean, I was doing so much other stuff outside of that on the month off, you know, which was, you know, everything from quite big productions to tiny, you know, independent stuff that I was doing with my friends, and a lot of theater in there all the way through that as well, which is something I'm still doing. But yeah, that's putting yourself in the, you know, there is luck involved, being in the right place at the right time. But to be in the right place at the right time, you've got to be everywhere all the time, which is something that I kind of set about doing from, you know, the second I walked out of school when I was just gone 17.
I looked yesterday at the Sigur Rós video, the one with the snail and the fox. Now, I'm not sure I understood it, but I looked at it, it was 10 minutes long, and I thought, What was behind your choice to do something like that? Because it's fascinating. It's unusual. It's strange. It takes you on this weird journey. But why was that something that you wanted to do in that time?
How that came about was a friend of mine who's a photographer who I'd met along the way, a great portrait photographer, Eva Vermandel from Belgium, went on tour with Sigur Rós doing a photographic book on them. I went with her to Iceland, met Jonsi and the band and this filmmaker called Nick Abrams, who made that video. And he made that video as a short film, really, you know, with a film narrative. And I have been in a few other videos for bands, and they tend to follow, you know, a short film narrative. It's not just a, you know, there's a story to it, and they're...
It's not the MTV video
of... filmic. No, not really.
Yeah.
And Nick made a quite beautiful film, I think, and Sigur Rós's music lends itself to film. You know, it's very anthemic, epic, filmic.
It's a storytelling piece of music. I mean, it lends itself really well.
Yeah, but I'm glad you picked that out, because those are the kind of things that I'm really, you know, am proud of. If I sit down and have a list, as I will when I'm having this chat with Roz Herbert at the festival, and we're talking about the things that I'm proudest of or that I was most excited by, most of them are things that people won't have heard of.
Really?
One of which is a film that we're showing prior to that chat in the same venue, and it's a film called Mojo from 1997, which is little seen, but, you know, in my heart, it's the project that that means the most to me. Mm-hmm. In, you know, many ways, when it was shot, who was shot with, what it's about, what it, you know, where it got me, I suppose. It was a bit of a turning point for me, but still no one's seen it.
So when you're walking down the street, you'll get Love Hate or The
mostly,
Wire.
Yeah, you mostly get Love Hate in Ireland, and anywhere else it's Game of Thrones. It's never Sigur Rós and the Fox.
Yeah, the poor Fox.
Or Mojo. The occasional Charlie Haughey, which is always... makes me smile.
Isn't that interesting that happens to you, that people
it's
say there's
that
Charlie?
It's interesting that happened to me.
That you were Charlie.
Yeah.
But I suppose it shows the role that he played in this country, you know, if that's the character that you're being recognised for when you're walking down the street.
Yeah.
But if you're very proud of the offbeat stuff, does it bother you at all that you're known for the big things?
Not at all. No. Of course not. That's just... That's the way it's going to be. So Tingle, I think the year I moved there, which is 2008, was the first year that there was a film festival in Dingle. And it was centered around the Phoenix Cinema, which is this beautiful, small gem of a family-run cinema in the town. I think originally it was, at one point it was turf-powered. You know, they had a turf-powered
generator. This is the one that Cillian Murphy and his wife Yvonne are now regenerating.
Yeah. So it closed in 2021. Like, I used to go to that cinema all the time, like right through the winter, all weathers. Sometimes you'd be the only person there. It might be myself, my kids, a few other people. And it had been run by this Michael O'Sullivan, his kids, Frances, Kathleen and Sean. You'd walk in, Frances would sell you your ticket. You'd buy your Maltesers off Kathleen. Sean would be the projectionist, and you'd watch whatever was in town. And they had to change the program quite often because it's a small town. So if the film, even if the film is a big hit, everyone's seen it within 2 weeks.
Yeah, so to move on quickly.
It closed down, which was a shame. I was sure, you know, there was a movement to try and buy it for the community and to try and save it. And I thought, I really hope it happens, but it looks like a losing battle. Like, real estate in Dingle, you know, especially with the tourism, it's so, you know, it's... Somebody could have made 20 times the money out of that as a cinema. And Cillian Murphy and his wife Yvonne McGuinness stepped in last year, the year before, and bought it, which is like really amazing. It's a really kind of generous and huge gesture, you know, in terms of the community and just cinema.
Well, it helps put
the
Dingle,
survival of cinema.
Well, it helps put Dingle on the map, you know, in another
Even
way
more.
around the film festival.
Yeah, and
so
it'll
on.
Also be used as a, you know, beyond cinema as an all round arts hub, I believe. So
okay.
That's something to really look forward to.
So, just when you mention cinema, I mean, it has changed so much, isn't it? That you're making stuff now that goes directly onto streaming, and I think that it loses some of its edge because of that. Do you agree?
It does, but you know, things have been changing all the time since, you know, sound came in, since colour came in, since TV came in, since the internet came in. You know, it's it has to evolve with it, and it is evolving with it, and it is surviving. Even in a way that when I was going to that cinema in the Phoenix, the way they were surviving was they also had a video rental shop to the side.
Yeah, so there was always an element of change happening. It's just, I remember going to see my first movie that I saw was The Neverending Story, and I just remember that I couldn't breathe. You know, I was so excited by the scale of the screen, the level of the noise. And when I took my children to see Wicked last year, I could see that same effect. Now, if a film comes out and they watch it at home on the TV, it's just not the same.
It's not the same, no. Or even worse, watch it on your phone while you're watching something else, on your iPad while you're watching something else on the TV. I mean, kids these days like to do four or five things at the same time. Mm. I mean, I also personally would rather be just encased in the Savoy One looking at anything. Even the bad films were brilliant.
Even Neverending Story.
Well, Neverending Story was great and had a great soundtrack.
No. Do you know what I did? I tried to get my children to watch it with me, and it was so awful. It was like, I've explained this on the show before, it was like they were holding a teddy and marching him across in front of a camera. It just didn't work. Well, but for me in the 80s, it worked.
And that has its charms. And I just dug out a disc of Labyrinth recently, which is in the same kind of genre, really. So I'm going to go home and watch that today because I can.
On a small screen or a big screen?
Well, I've got a big, small screen at home, so that'll do for now.
Excellent. And can you tell us what you're working on now? Are all these things top secret?
No, they're not top secret. I've been working quite a lot. Last year, I was in a lot of far-flung places like Hungary and Germany and Poland and Hong Kong. More recently, I have completed a 6-part drama, comedy, drama, caper for RTE and BBC, brought to you, written by Stuart Carolan, the man behind Love Hate. You know, he's done lots of things, but the calling card is, for obvious reasons, I suppose, in this country and beyond, Love Hate. So he's written, you know, all 6 episodes of this.
And are you another charming psychopath in that? Or?
I would say in this I play a man of mystery and some madness. But it's quite a warm character. And it's a great cast of Lily Ella Highland, who you might know from Black Doves and other things. Casey Walsh, whose, you know, previous career was as a rapper. Actors that you will know, but that aren't overexposed, which is always good, like really good Irish actresses and actors like Aisling O'Sullivan, Brian Doherty. So that's coming up. And then currently I'm working on a pilot in America for the FX channel, which has the unwieldy working title currently of Untitled Witness Protection Pilot, which is quite a good name for a drama set about witness protection. It should just not have a title.
It's intriguing anyway.
But it's based on an original script by David Chase, who wrote The Sopranos.
Of course. Now, if you obviously you have to go and travel for work. How do you find that, you know, unrooting yourself?
Because
you
love it.
Do you? Do you love going to the States? Do you love going to Germany for those stretches of time?
I do, yeah. I mean, work for me now, the days is like holidays.
But obviously you love Ireland. You live here as home.
But I still get very excited about looking at the window of a plane. You know, I can sit
I'm so glad
in the window
to hear that.
and look at the mountains and the clouds. You know, for me, every time it's like the first time. And same with acting. I mean, every job I do, I treat it as if it's the first job I've ever had. And I feel the same way. I get the same buzz out of it and the same, desire to find new ways of doing things, and certainly don't feel like I have mastered anything, to get back to the master terminology. It's always funny, you know, when you read about master classes, it's the kind of thing I would like probably stay away from if I saw them. But they're nearly always just chats with, you know, it's a cinematographer or director in that field, you know, or it could be, you know, in computing or farming or whatever. A masterclass is just a chat with somebody telling you about their experiences, and they're always, always really interesting.
But you've got to take it now. You've got to accept it as well. They've put you in the master's class, and that is where you belong.
I know you
might find that difficult to accept, but look back at what you've done, you know, and what you're still doing. It's an extraordinary career.
Yeah, I've done plenty, and there's a lot of other guests there too. You know, Ruan McGann is going to be showing his Irish language feature Boitche, and Alan Gilson, who is one of our better documentarians,
fantastic,
is going to be showing some of his stuff. And also doing, both of these guys, by the way, are the real masters. And Roz Hubbard talking about her career, which has been pretty stellar, you know.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be a fantastic event, as it always is, I know, down in Dingle, and people have a great time down there as well. And we're very grateful to you for coming in this morning and telling us about it.
Thank you. Can I do something I've never really done on the radio
Absolutely.
Before?
Absolutely.
Say hello to my mother.
Do.
Hi, Mammy.
Please.
She's bedbound at the moment, and I know she's listening to this.
Where is she listening from?
Drumcondra.
Drumcondra.
Dublin.
Well, hello, Mammy Gillen. Will we say her name? Will she mind if we say her
name? Her name is Patricia Gillen.
Patricia. Well, Patricia, I hope you have a lovely morning and that you're very proud of your son, as I'm sure you are. Film passes and tickets for workshops at the Dingle Distillery International Film Festival are still available through dinglefilmfestival.com. We'll take a break.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.